Okay, this is going to be difficult for me. Sitting in one place on a stool and not roaming around. You might see me rocking back and forth a little bit, but you know, that's just how I do it.
Well, and it's going to be difficult for me because those of you who've heard me preach before know that I preach from notes. And so when Joel and I got together to plan this dialogue sermon, at the end, he kind of says, well, let's just do it extemporaneously, kind of like the conversation we've just had about this text. So he gets to be nervous to sit still, and I get to be nervous to speak without notes. So we're going to have a great time together.
Let's open with prayer. Gracious Almighty God, we give you thanks for this day, for bringing us to this beautiful place to worship you with one another. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us, that you would fill us with your peace that passes all understanding, that you would renew our spirits, that you would open up our hearts and our minds and our souls to hear and to receive your message of grace, mercy, and love. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to remember to sit up, or I'm going to hurt. So this gospel lesson... let me start even before that. When Roxanne and I got together to talk, I was a little nervous. The only kind of co-sermon that I've ever done was with Tony Campolo back in Tahoe, and it was more of like a preach-off. It was like he would preach, and he would get all preachy, and then I would get up, and I would preach and take over from him, and then it was this big back and forth to see. It was very ego-driven to see who could... preach the loudest. This is not that. Okay, this is very much not that. And I've never done this type of sermon before, but I think it's going to be really interesting. And so, what? What? I can't hear you, Steve. Someone talking? I hear it buzzing. In our conversation that we had, you had so many amazing thoughts that were just blowing my mind left and right. She does this. And I still am kind of nervous. What am I going to talk about that could, you know, reach that level of thinking? And then she said, just talk about what you always talk about. And I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. So I get to talk about the gospel for a little bit. And what I've always done with this gospel lesson is I've always kind of taken the traditional understanding of this scripture of what word is and who the word was and is, right? And that being Jesus. That was always my greatest understanding. That's what was taught in seminars. What was taught by my dad, who's a pastor as well. Taught by my mom, taught by my professors. The word, of course, is Jesus. We know this. Yes, the word is not scripture, right? That is the good word. That's where we get our source of truth and understanding. But the word is Christ. Is Christ Jesus. And what I like to do with this text, it always comes up after Christmas, is I like to kind of contrast and compare the Christmas reading with today's reading. Now the Christmas reading, right, came from Luke, right? And Luke really kind of has this, he paints a beautiful picture for us. We have Mary and Joseph trying to find, yeah, here's the creche, trying to find a place to have their baby, and there's no room in the inn, and they can't find anywhere to go, and they find this barn, and they go into this barn, and they have this baby Jesus, and they lay him in the manger, and an angel kind of appears to the shepherds who are watching over their flock by night, right? Yeah, you guys can respond back and forth, it's good. We really have this gorgeous kind of scene set before us, right? And people often ask me, how come there's no Christmas story in the Gospel of John? And I say, well, there is a Christmas story in the Gospel of John. It's the very first thing you read. So one of the things, so for Luke, Mary and we have the story of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and Jesus lying in the manger. And for John, John has more of this cosmic understanding of what we're looking at. It's cosmic, the Word becoming flesh, incarnating among us. This light shining in the darkness. Grace upon grace upon grace. This is a creation story, okay? This is the story of Christ's incarnation, but it goes beyond that because it says in the beginning, right? In the beginning. Where else does it say in the beginning? Genesis. This is a creation story, and this is a story about Christ's incarnation into this world. Luke holds before us a child. Luke shows us this wonderful Christmas story. John tells us we have been given the power to become children of God. Okay? So Luke, the contrast here is Luke has the baby born laying in the manger, and John has this contrast of we too get to become children of God. Luke tells us what's happening. He gives us the whole story. What's happening? What's going on? John tells us what's going on in what is happening. So he kind of gives us the alternative view into the cosmic understanding of the Word becoming flesh, incarnating among us. And so there's this this really interesting contrast between the two different stories. And as we were kind of talking about this, Roxanne pushed it even further and just kind of blew my mind, if you would. And I really want you to talk a bit about that. I know I was supposed to talk about this, but you do it so well.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
See, this is the part I get to, we both get to live into our discomfort zone, which is a great thing that God calls us to do all the time,
I'm
right?
I'm trying not to stand up.
So. Right. So one of the things that I think is interesting when we understand the way that the writer of John's gospel writes this, right? He's writing to the Hebrew people, and the Hebrew people are people of the book. So what is the most glorifying, rarefying, high praise you can give to someone if your whole culture is based on knowing God through the book? The Word, right? He's saying this whole law of Moses, that's the thinking of his audience. The law of Moses was the most sacred thing. So by talking about in beginningness or in the beginning, was the Word. He's saying, this is the highest thing by choosing the word, right? He's giving us this sense to his hearers that Jesus is the best possible thing, or the Word is the best possible thing, because it ties directly to what the Hebrew people valued the most, the law. So he's giving extremely high praise. I think for listeners in our day, we often think of this notion of Word being like book. In other words, after the printing press, words were everywhere, right? Your Kindle, your phone, you can't, at some level, you can't get away from words. And so it's a different, the listeners of this would have had a very different sense about Word, okay? So I said to Joel, I said, well, it's really interesting because when you look at the roots of the word, the synonyms in Hebrew are sound, vibration, and name. So listen to...
That's how the Hebrew Aramaic word would be translated.
Right. Those are the words that mean roughly the equivalent, or it's made up of those roots. So in the beginning was the name, and the name was with God, and the name was God. The name was in the beginning with God. So you get a sense of one sense of cosmology, and we know that the name of God to the Hebrew people was incredibly important, so important that they would never say it or write it, right? You couldn't pronounce the name of God. And the Hebrew people referred to the name of God by the letters Yid, Hey, Vav, Hey, which are four letters in the Hebrew alphabet that sort of gets translated in English as Yahweh, right? But it's the Yid, Hey, Vav, Hey. The name was so sacred. It also means things like sound. So in the beginning was the sound, and the sound was with God, and the sound was God. The sound was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being with God. So then you get a sense of sound, and the listeners of this, the hearers, right, would immediately think of the Genesis story, because how did God create? Through the spoken word. God said, let there be light. So in that first story in Genesis, creation by God is through the sound, right? He speaks creation into effect because of that. Mm-hmm. You could substitute the word, in the beginning was the light, and the light was with God, and the light was God, and the light was in the beginning with God. That would be another way that it would sound. And especially, I'd love for you to hear it, if we think of what Jesus told us about God. Jesus told us that God is love. So Jesus was not necessarily coming to overturn the Hebrew law, but to make it fuller, right? So based on what Jesus tells us about God, you
can
might
pause you just real quick. So what do I always talk about when I'm preaching?
Love.
That's good, right? Thank you for responding with the correct answer. That's always risky, right? It's always risky. You can get crickets, and I'm like, oh no, I need to do a better job. Jesus's main message was all about love, right? All about love, loving each other, loving our neighbor, loving. And so,
go ahead.
What Roxanne's talking about is that if you take Jesus's main, most important message, which is love, and then take it from there.
Okay. So you might think if Jesus has written it, he might write something like, in the beginning was love, and the love was with God, and the love was God. The love was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through love, and without love, not one thing would have come into being. That which came into being in love was life, and the life was the light of all people. So you get a very different sense if you're looking at this passage through what was most important to Jesus, right? That concept of love, as opposed to the concept of what was most revered by his Hebrew listeners of the gospel, which was the word and the law. So it gives you a contrast or a way to think about the creation story. Clearly, when the readers or the listeners, it would be listeners first, heard this, they would have immediately gone back to or began thinking about creation just because of the way it starts, right? Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginningness was God. So you get the sense of immediately they would have gone, oh my gosh, this is the creation story. It's like you said. Mm-hmm. Where would you like to go next?
Oh. I just need to reiterate that whole, what she just said, because that was the part that blew my mind when we were meeting in my office and we were talking, and she said, in the beginning was love, and love was, I was listening, I got kind of chills, and I was like, that's an incredible thought. It's cosmic in essence. It's huge that love is in the beginning, and we were made through love and all these things. And so I had to come back to her. I was like, so tell me, how does the word that's translated as word get translated as love again?